3 months ago, the name John Moffat meant very little to almost anyone outside his immediate family and die-hard football fans in Denver. But on the fifth day of November, by his own choosing, John Moffat went from being a member of one of the best football teams in the NFL to being an unemployed ex-football player. Gone was the chance to continue doing something he'd enjoyed from the time he was a little boy. Crazy. Gone was the chance for fame and glory as part of a potentially winning Super Bowl team. Crazy. Gone was over $1 million in salary that he forfeited by walking away from football. Absolutely crazy. Members of his own family questioned his thinking. His cousin Andrea, for one, wrote him saying, "How dare you? I work so hard for my job and I don't get paid like nearly as much as you, and to take that for granted?" It made no sense to her, not at all. For the life of her, she could not imagine why anyone, let alone someone she knew, would throw all of that away in a moment. His message back to her was simple and straightforward. "Andrea, I'm not happy. And I'm sorry that that's where you're at, but this is where I'm at." To those of us looking in from the outside, John Moffat's decision seems incredibly foolish and short-sighted and perhaps even misguided. But when you listen to John explain it, in his own words, it doesn't seem so outlandish at all. Here's what he had to say. "I just really thought about it and decided I'm not happy. Not happy at all. I think it's really madness to risk your body, risk your well-being, risk your happiness for money. Everybody, they just don't get it. They think it's crazy, but I think what I was doing before is crazy. I've saved enough. How much do you really need? And what do you want in life? So I decided that I don't really need to be a millionaire. I just want to be happy," he said. And then he added, "I find that people that have the least in life are sometimes the happiest. And I don't have the least in life. I have enough. And I won't sacrifice my health for that." Blessed are those who know their own heart and what matters to them. Blessed are those who are able to follow their own path, no matter what others think or say. After 20 years of working and making money, lots of money, on Wall Street, Chris Arnade grew disillusioned with the profession following the financial crisis of 2008. 4 years later, in the summer of 2012, he quit and began walking the streets of New York instead. He was particularly drawn to a rough neighborhood in the Bronx, an area known for crime, drugs, and prostitution. There he met Takesha, a prostitute, maybe a prophet too, but hold on to that one. There he met Takesha, a prostitute, and maybe someday a prophet. But not for the reason you might guess. You see, Chris had quit his prestigious Wall Street job in order to befriend and photograph some of the most down-and-out people in New York. Faces of Addiction is what he calls his collection of photographs. Takesha was one of them. And after taking her picture, he sat and talked to her for an hour and a half, learning about her life. Raped by a relative at 11, giving birth to her first child at 12, being forced out on the streets at the age of 13 by her own mother, who was herself a prostitute. And Takesha has been on the streets ever since, two-thirds of her entire life. At the end of their visit, Chris asked Takesha how she wanted to be identified in her photograph. "As who I am," she said, "a prostitute, a mother of six, and a child of God." Meeting people like Takesha has changed lots of Chris's thinking, including his atheism. "I walked into Hunts Point," he remembers, "and naively thought I would see the same cynicism I had, and I saw the exact opposite." Takesha reports that God is the one who gives her hope. And in the crack houses Chris visits with his camera, abandoned buildings without heat, without light, without plumbing, he notes that he almost always finds a Bible. He sums up the change in his life this way: "I was spending my days with what society considers the winners, and certainly the winners monetarily, working on Wall Street. Then I was spending my nights with what society considers losers. And the losers were no lazier, no less gifted, weren't any dumber. They were just dealt a very bad hand." His hope is that as people look at his photographs and the stories that go with them, they will think about social inequality. He writes, "There are people in this world who have very little, not due to their own problems or their own failings, but to society. Everybody, homeless, prostitute, Wall Street trader, everybody is as valid as everybody else." Blessed are those whose unhappiness and dissatisfaction in life lead them to seek out others who also hunger and thirst for something better in life, and come to recognize and value each other as sisters and brothers. Blessed are those whose restlessness leads them into a deeper sense of their own humanity and a new kind of community. Christian writer Marin Tirabassi offers her own take on Jesus' words. She entitles it "Improv on Matthew 5 for Myself and All My Friends in Recovery." "Blessed are the powerless over alcohol, for theirs is the realm of one day at a time. Blessed are Weight Watchers, for they will be comforted without food. Blessed are those willing to go into drug treatment, for they will inherit reality. Blessed are those who do not binge or purge as if it were righteousness, for they will be filled with hope. Blessed are those in Gamblers Anonymous, for God will take a chance on them. Blessed are the members of any of the S groups, for they will be pure in heart and know love. Blessed are those who put away the razor or the credit card or internet porn, for theirs too is the realm of one day at a time. Blessed are you when people revile you for your addictions and push you out of a community of faith. Rejoice and be glad, for so belittled and rejected were the runaway sheep and rollaway coins of every generation. Who are the blessed? Look around. Look around at each other this morning. Really, look at each other. Who are the blessed? Can you see them? The ones whose hearts are aching and breaking, the ones whose lives are torn up and falling apart, the ones who don't have a clue about where to turn next for help. Can you see them? Cynthia, several months ago, offered me a suggestion that when we come to the communion table, we let those folks come first. I just have a logistical problem trying to figure out how we identify those folks. But I think she's right. That if these are the ones who are most desperate for the grace of God, none of us should get in their way, ever. And truth be told, it's not about someone else. It's about recognizing what's inside each of us. To know that we too are the broken ones, the lost ones, the ones crying out for help, the ones hungering and thirsting for something more. I'm afraid, Cynthia, that if we really tried it out, we would be watching people running over each other to get to where God's grace is freely waiting and available to all. For you see, it is the brokenness of our lives. It is the parts of our lives that we can't take care of ourselves that open us up to the goodness and the richness of God. And it doesn't have to wait for someday down the road. It starts now, where God's grace is offered freely to one and to all. Blessed are you when you know that truly. Amen.